In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The Song of Mary is about her response to plans changing for her. And I want to talk on that topic of plans being changed. Elizabeth's senior life pregnancy certainly would qualify for being a change. She suddenly was no longer going to slow down her pace of life. She was in her old age, thinking about, well, these are my golden years. I'm going to kind of retire now. I'm not going to set the alarm anymore. I'll just wake up when I feel like waking up. In her old age, she was going to instead be the mother of a little baby boy. And not just any baby boy. Elizabeth was carrying John. And Zechariah had received the announcement from an angel that this boy was going to be Israel's Messiah. God's plan brought a whole new direction to Elizabeth's life. We think of Mary, a teenage pregnancy. It certainly caused a change in her plans. She was engaged, and I'm sure planning on all the details of her wedding, starting an exciting new life with the village carpenter, and thinking about growing old with a little family in this town that she had grown up in. But then the angel Gabriel appeared and told her that she would bear a son, even though she wasn't married yet. Now that alone probably would change plans, right? But even more than that, she was told the very startling news that this boy is the Son of God. She made herself open to God's plan. She was given the option, and she opted in. And the decision brought a whole new direction to Mary's life. And Mary thought about the connection that she was sharing with her cousin Elizabeth, because their future sons would be in the leading roles of God's own plan. Not their plans, not Elizabeth's and not Mary's, but of God's plan. They had been chosen among all the other women on the planet Earth to be the human links to that godly plan. Wow. They knew that their own plans were changed, but for the best possible reason there could be. It was so that God's plan could take over in their life. Consider the story of Mary and Elizabeth when your plans change, when things don't go the way you think they should be going. Consider the new direction you're being pointed to by the change, and consider whether those changes are happening so that God's plan can take shape in your own life. And maybe your response should be like Mary's response, I am the Lord's, ready to serve. I wanted to give you some illustrations of plans changing. I had, in the neighborhood I lived in before I moved here, I had a neighbor approach me just a week before Christmas, and she said, you know, I really feel like I am being led to do something different this Christmas, and I want to contribute some money. I really want to make a change in somebody's life, and I do not want to just give this to an organization. I want to know where it's going. I want to know what it's going to do. I want to know what impact it has, and can you help me? And I said, well, we work closely in our parish with a downtown mission. It's Santa Maria Urban Ministry. And I said, we provide gifts for children, so let me call them. And if you think that would work, I mean, that's going directly to kids who aren't going to have Christmas presents otherwise. And she said, yeah, I think that would sound good. And so we ended up calling down to the mission. And they said, well, actually, our deadline is ended. We've already received the gifts and received the deadline. But actually, there are 150 additional families that have asked for gifts that we don't have the gifts for, and we're just going to have to, you know, not accept those requests. And my neighbor said, well, I have $500 I want to give. And so I relayed that information to the mission, that it was $500. And the $500 allowed them to get the gifts for all of these 150 kids that they had requests for. When I shared that report with my neighbor, she started crying. And she said, you know, I knew that I was being pushed to do something different, but I didn't realize I was doing God's plan instead of my own. Instead of just writing out a check somewhere, this has made a huge difference. Another example, I know that while I was in engineering, working as an engineer, doing consulting, I had a plan for my ministry, and my plan was very carefully thought out, that I knew that a lot of parishes were having financial trouble affording a full-time priest, and I also knew that I had been living an engineering lifestyle, and it was kind of comfortable, right? And so I decided, I've got the solution for this. I'll work part-time as an engineer and part-time as a priest, and that way it's not a hardship for the church. It lets me do ministry, but it also allows me to have income. And so I pursued that path while I was going through seminary. And what happened was something called the dot-com bust. And all of my engineering work went away within a 30-day period. All of it went away. And I got a phone call also during that 30-day period from Bishop Schimpfke saying, I have a mission in South San Jose that really needs somebody with your business experience. And we would like you to take that position full time. God's plan, right? This is about God's plan, not my plan. St. Luke's has tried for many years to try to provide the support for a full-time priest. And it was decided 2 years ago that wasn't going to work, at least for now. And so there was a commitment to have part-time clergy here. And we knew that part of what that would require is a lot more involvement by all of you, because I'm not here full-time. And boy, has that happened like crazy. Lots of involvement by everybody. And you know what I've found is it takes that involvement to be a strong community. If you're really just coming for worship, I mean, that's important and that's good because it's our link with God. But if there's not a good number of people who have that commitment to the ongoing health of that community, it doesn't sustain itself. And so that happened. I knew that because we were part-time, I needed to have a deacon, but Deacon Joan isn't here anymore, right? But I ended up having a great relationship with Reverend Artis, and she wants to be here. And so it ended up that the plan shifted from trying to figure out how to make half-time work, that now we have lots of engaged members. We have Reverend Artis helping out with a lot of the clergy kinds of things. We needed to have accurate financial records and accounting so that we could keep track of how things are going. And God bless you all. You ended up with Debbie and Dee and Ken all at the same time. Wow. So this is, I think, a sign of God's plan. The upstairs parish house was the home of the after-school academy. But it was losing money. There wasn't an obvious way, or it wasn't any way to be defined of how to have it sustain itself. But it ended up, and so there was a decision to close the academy 2 years ago. That opened it up to be an apartment to be rented out. We found this wonderful Christian woman who works downtown. She loves living there. She reminds us when we've left the sprinklers on. She really has a love for the place. I think it was God's plan for that to happen. My mom had five children, and I grew up as the oldest because before I was born, my three-year-old older brother drowned. My mom was washing clothes, and my older brother got away from her and ran down to a river that was behind us. It was springtime. The river was raging because of the snow melt in our part of the country, and he fell into the water and drowned. My mom was pregnant for me at the time, which is interesting, isn't it? Because I really question if she and my dad would want more children. But there wasn't that choice because she was already pregnant. So when I was born, lo and behold, Jackie had blonde curly hair. And when I was born, I had blonde curly hair. And Jackie, of the five, oh, and the only children of mom and dad's that had blonde curly hair. We were the only two who had birthmarks. Out of the five children she had, Jackie and I are the only ones with birthmarks. Not in the same spot, but mine's on the back of my leg. I think it was God's plan to help relieve mom's sorrow over losing a child, that she was already pregnant for me. And I don't consider all these things coincidences. I've told you a lot of times, I believe the word should be God incident, not coincidence. And I see God's plan there. You see, Christmas is not only a birthday party for Jesus. It's about celebrating that God has a plan. God does have a plan. And God delivers on that plan all the time. If we notice, and if we're open to it, like Elizabeth was open to it, like Mary was open to it, we need to be open to the fact that God has a plan. God delivers on the plan all the time. Elizabeth trusted that her senior life pregnancy was God's plan. Mary trusted that her visit by an angel, her invitation to a divine pregnancy, was God's plan. How good are you and I at trusting that when the unexpected happens, God has a plan? I think that's the story of Christmas. It's really the promise that God made, that God had a plan for all of humanity, and the birth of Jesus is the sign to all of us that God delivers on the plan. And there are all these other ways I've tried to give you examples of how God delivers on the plan in the most unexpected ways. Elizabeth felt her newborn son leap for joy. We have reason to leap for joy. God has selected you and me to be part of God's plan, to touch every human being on the planet with the good news that Jesus is among us. Our hearts leap for joy in this season because it reminds us that with God, all things are possible. Nothing's off the table. Our hearts leap for joy because of the gift of the baby born in the manger who brings hope and peace and love and joy. All those four candles that we have been lighting, hope and peace and love and joy. Those are the gifts to an imperfect world that are God's plan. So we leap for joy because our Savior has come. Amen.